time to meet the men from the ministry. Join us now for another canter down the corridors of power with Norma Ronald, Ronald Baddeley, John Graham, Hilary Pritchard, and the men from the ministry, Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler. The ministry men know that planning is the key to success. Every job must conform to its blueprint and nothing can be left to chance. In the General Assistance Department, dedicated men are even now tackling problems of economic growth.
Is that the maximum possible, too?
Yes, man. We followed the instructions exactly.
Good. Then perhaps we can let the matter rest.
Right.
Do you know, I'll bet we're the only department in Whitehall growing mushrooms in the office.
Let's keep it that way, man. We don't want to flood the markets.
Right, right. I suppose they'll be all right in there.
I don't see why not. The advert said somewhere damp and dark where they won't be disturbed. And the filing cabinet seems the ideal place.
Well, with civil service salaries the way they are, one needs the extra income.
Yes, I hear old Rudge at the Board of Trade took up making horsehair sofas.
Was it a success?
Apparently not. He couldn't get the horses.
Fancy me with a lovely cup of tea.
Ah, the cup that cheers. Thank you, Mildred. Yes.
Now, did you deal with them problems for the Ministry of Transport, sir?
Were there some problems for the Ministry of Transport?
Oh, you remember. There's a complaint from the Motorists League. They say they don't like all them holes in the roads.
Ah, yes. Tell them to point out the ones they don't like and we'll get them filled in.
And what about that memo from the minister about petrol fumes?
Now, we did deal with that.
He demanded drastic action.
He got it, Mildred.
Yes, we tore up the memo.
So things are quiet at the moment. We haven't heard from the permanent undersecretary for several days.
Well, I think Sir Gregory's been away, sir.
Splendid. Let's hope the old monster forgets to come back.
Lillingsburg.
Sir Gregory. How nice to see you, sir. I hope you're well. And Lady Pitkin, how are the roses?
Were you talking about me just now?
Good Lord, no, sir. No, I wouldn't do that. Would I do?
No, Sir Gregory, no. He was talking about another old monster.
Another minister, he means. Yes, the monster of transport.
Be quiet, both of you. But as you're so interested in the Minister of Transport, you'll be glad to hear he's got another job for you.
Oh, yes, thank you, Sir Gregory.
Yes, there's a problem with the River Crum in Hampshire. They want you to step in.
Oh, dear.
Well, there's no road link across the river, and the government's decided there should be. The experts are undecided whether to build a bridge or a tunnel.
Well, that's no problem to us, sir, with our years of experience. Oh, no. No, we'll give them the answer in no time. Do you have a coin I might borrow, sir?
A coin, Lennox Bound?
Yes.
We usually spin a coin for that sort of thing. Only last week we tossed up and decided to build that new road round the House of Commons and not through it.
Yes. But this road link is an important matter. The whole project will be a prototype for linking Britain and France across the Channel.
Oh, you mean what the Crum does today, Calais does tomorrow?
Exactly. The eyes of every engineer in Europe will be upon you.
Mr. Gregory, if this job is important, why have you given it to us?
A good question. Normally I'd be dealing with it, but at the moment I'm doing some research further down the river. My new motor yacht is moored there, as a matter of fact.
Oh, yes, we thought we hadn't seen much of you lately, sir.
Well, I go down whenever I can. It's quiet there, and I need to find a little peace.
I thought you took one with you.
What?
he said, do you take anyone with you, sir? You see, to assist you with your research.
Well, there are clerical duties, of course. I sometimes take Miss Bentwater from the typing pool. She's fast and efficient.
So I've heard, sir.
Well, this road link is to be at Cromford. Now, I want you both to get down there tomorrow.
Certainly.
Have a look at the site, sound out the locals and so on.
Very good, sir, certainly, yes.
See what sort of thing they prefer. At the moment, they have to make do with an old broken-down ferry run by an old broken-down ferryman.
Morning, Seth. Was you wanting to come on the ferry?
At 5 pence a time?
And look at that landing stage on t'other side. It's rotten.
Ah, I'm going to get rid of that old landing stage today. Young Harry's made me a new one.
Who's this coming across the meadow? I ain't seen them two afore.
What? Where?
Well, them two fellas with bowler hats and brollies.
Oh, yeah. They look a bit scared of Farmer Brown's cow.
Ah, and she's a bit scared of they, I shouldn't wonder.
I'd be glad when we're away from here, one. You sure that bull is harmless?
Well, of course, too, of course. I know a lot about these things, you know. Oh, yes. I worked for the Ministry of Agriculture, remember? Bulls of that kind are reared mainly for their wool.
Ah, there's the old boy with his boat. Looks pretty primitive, I must say. All cracked and worn and leaking.
Yes, and the boat's not much better.
Don't think I didn't hear that, because I did hear that. I don't take lip from strangers.
Now, no offence intended, my dear chap. You're the ferryman, I take it, are you?
That's me, Fred Grapple, veteran of two world wars. Oh. 50 years I've been doing this job,
really?
And that's my house with the lawn running down to the river.
I see. You've a ferry at the bottom of your garden.
Tulip, please.
Was you wanting to come across, then?
Yes. We have to inspect the other side.
Ah, well, come on, step aboard. Yeah, and let's see the colour of your money.
Yes, all right.
I ain't got all day.
Wait a minute. Give me a hand.
Oh, I hope I'm not going to be seasick on this. I say, this landing stage doesn't look very safe.
Just you wait till you see the other side. Still, it adds a bit of excitement, I reckon. Off we go.
We're here to arrange a new link across the river.
What's that?
So this old boat will become redundant.
And so will you, Mr. Grapple. Oh, yes. But, of course, I mean there'll be compensation.
Compensation?
Huh? Yes, as you've been at it for 50 years, it could be as much as 8 pence per week.
Is that so?
Oh, you'll be able to put your feet up and watch television.
Or you might get a job at that nice new sewage farm.
Just think, Mr. Grapple. A splendid new road link with the heavy lorries thundering through night and day.
We'll be getting things started quite soon.
Well, gentlemen, here we are at the other side. If you'd just like to step onto the landing stage.
Right, thank you very much, Mr. Grapple. Yes, spin it now. Wait a minute, take it easy.
So, you two are going to close down my ferry, are you?
That's right. We want to get moving as quickly as possible.
Well, I think I can help you there. Goodbye, gents. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mr. Grapple. Two. Wait, this landing stage is moving. It's broken loose.
No, it hasn't. He cut it loose.
That's right. I got rid of two lots of rubbish at the same time.
You can't do this, Mr. Grapple. We're floating away downstream.
Enjoy your trip, you pinstripe pests.
But, Mr. Grapple, we're adrift and helpless.
Yeah. I bet it ain't the first time.
This is ever such a lovely yacht, Sir Gregory. I bet you're pleased with it.
Yes, my dear, I certainly am. And you needn't call me Sir Gregory now. We're quite alone on this stretch of the river.
All right. Funny. Fancy, all the other girls will be busy in the typing pool, and here we are sunning ourselves. It's a lovely, comfy airbed.
There aren't many of these double ones about. Oh, what bliss to be away from Whitehall and those idiots in my department.
It's as if the civil service didn't exist.
Let me pour you another innocent double brandy, my dear. Then we can go down to the cabin for a bit.
That's funny, Bunny.
Not at all, my dear. It's nature's way.
No. I mean, there's a raft floating towards us with two men on it.
Oh, well, never mind that, Daphne. The locals are very keen on water sports. And talking about sports, what about...
They don't look like locals, Bunny. Look, they're wearing bowler hats. And one of them's hitting the other over his head with his umbrella.
Now, gently, my dear. Perhaps you shouldn't have had that fourth brandy. And the sun is rather hot. Good Lord. There are two men on a raft. By thunder, I know those voices. Am I having a horrible dream? Lamb and Lennox Brown!
Are they friends of yours, Bunny?
Friends? They're two of the ghastliest nitwits you'd ever hope not to meet. Keep down, Daphne. They may drift past without seeing us.
But there's a dangerous weir down there. They could be drowned.
Never mind, my dear. The ministry is overstaffed.
They're going to crash into us.
What? My brand new yacht? Now keep away, you fools!
They're going to hit us!
They've hit us! Good gracious, it's Sir Gregory. I didn't recognize you, sir, in your Bermuda shorts.
Hello, Sir Gregory. I hope you're well. And Lady Pitkin, how are the roses? Now, don't mind us, Sir Gregory. We'll just sit here on the deck till our clothes dry out.
I've hung them on the mast.
Yes, you and Miss Bentwater can carry on as if we weren't here.
I realize, of course, you can't do all you were planning to do, sir. Now we've damaged your propeller. You're engaged on some research, sir, aren't you?
Miss Bentwater was going to take things down for you.
Yes, that was the plan. But as your blasted raft fractured the propeller and severed the mooring, I'm not in the mood to concentrate.
I did try to mend the propeller, Sir Gregory.
Tying your braces round it did not help one little bit. So we just sit here and drift helplessly back to the boatyard.
What about a little game to pass the time?
Good idea. We could play I Spy.
I don't play games, Lennox Barnes.
Oh, Bunny, that's not what you said this morning.
Very well, Lennox Barnes. I spy with my little eye something beginning with H.
H, don't tell me. Hook, Sir Gregory?
No. Hatch,
Sir Gregory?
No.
Give it up. What do you spy, Sir Gregory?
Hammer.
I don't see a hammer, sir.
Not on deck, perhaps, but I'm going below to fetch one.
Oh, how kind.
With which to beat your brains in! Thank you, thank you. Well, I says to you, fellow citizens of Crumford, if they're going to get rid of our ferry, we're going to get rid of them. Yeah. We won't have them jumped-up townies meddling with our amenities.
Yeah. Well said, Fred. We don't want a road link, and if they try and force one on us, we'll fight them. We'll bash them. We'll hit them where it hurts most. We'll cut them up into little pieces.
Thank you, Vicar. I now call upon the chairman, our respected postmistress, Miss Amelia Fitt.
I urge you, comrades and fellow workers, to resist the greed of the capitalist classes. I say to you, brothers, throw off your chains and flush them out.
This scheme is a threat to my parishioners' morals. A road link would bring the fleshpots of the city within easy reach of our young people.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, oh, fleshpots, Vicar? Where?
The Snedfield Bingo Hall, for a start.
I move that we launch a campaign of civil disobedience. Mass stick-downs on the roads. You can organize that, Mr. Winterbottom.
Oh, thank you.
Posters on every pillar box, banners everywhere. I'm not going to let any civil servant get on top of me.
Quite right, Miss Fitt. And we'll write to them interfering busybodies at the ministry and tell them there's worse to come for them and their bosses.
You didn't get on too well at Crumford, sir.
Well, you could say that, Mildred. That old ferryman does not want a new road link. But Sir Gregory wants a new yard.
He was quite cross with us, Mildred. Nearly made me walk the plank.
But then he had second thoughts.
No, he couldn't find a plank.
Then he turned very nasty. We'd taken our suits off to dry and he wouldn't let us have them.
We had to walk back to London in our underwear.
Oh, how embarrassing.
Luckily, we were able to keep some dignity. We still had our bowler hats on.
Well, these Crumford people are pretty cross and all. Have you seen this morning's paper?
No, I haven't. Pass it over, will you, Mother? Thank you. Oh, good grief. Here, look at these headlines, too.
Yeah, oh, dear. Villagers reject road link plan. Ferryman prepares to stick it out.
And what about the photograph?
What? Oh, glory. Last night, villagers burnt effigies of ministry officials.
I say those effigies look rather like us, don't they?
It says they carved the heads out of old turnips.
By Jove, how dare they?
Seems like they're hopping mad. Oh, and this letter arrived first post. It's for you, sir.
Oh, thank you, Mildred. Let's have a look at that, then. Let's say, you will never defeat the Save Crumford League. Hands off our ferry, leave us alone, or we could turn ugly.
That wouldn't be difficult.
We know there are others at the top more important than you.
What a cheek.
And they will suffer too. So keep your rotten noses out of our business, or you won't live to collect your pensions. Signed, a well-wisher.
They don't want the road link, do they?
It strikes me you better lay off, sir. Treat this problem like all the others. File it behind the radiator.
Certainly not, Mildred. I don't intend to be browbeaten by a bunch of unpleasant peasants.
Perhaps we should tell Sir Gregory.
Oh, I shouldn't go near him at the moment, sir.
Huh?
He's shut himself in his office trying to work out the cost of his yacht repairs.
Oh, dear.
And Daphne Bentwater's given him a rough time.
Is that you, Daphne, my little lotus blossom? Bunny here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, now, look, my dear, I know our boating trip wasn't a great success, but it wasn't my fault, and I want to make it up to you.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I realize it's only Wednesday morning, my poppet, but we don't want to waste time in a stuffy old ministry office when we could be, we could be out in the country. Nice long weekend.
I'm not coming out in your rotten boat again.
Oh, my little sweetie pie's not angry, is she? I didn't mean a boating weekend. Now, I've got a small place quite near where we were before. Lemon Tree Cottage. No one can ram us there. No one even knows it exists.
But I don't like Lemon Tree Cottage. Last time we went there, you wanted me to do everything.
What's that? Oh, yes. Yes, you were there before.
And I had to clean the place, do the cooking, draw the water from the well.
Well, this time things will be different, my dear. I know an agency who provide home helps in any part of the country. They'll send someone to cook and clean and then leave us alone.
Promise?
Cross my OB. All you'll have to do is relax and drink champagne and look beautiful.
All right. I'll come.
Splendid. Now, if I spend 5 minutes on this river problem down there, I can call this a business trip, which means we can go today. Usual arrangements for meeting, my dear. Bye-bye. Now, what's the name of that agency? Ah, yes. Rent-a-mop.
General Assistance Department, Mildred Murfin, to whom you are speaking with?
Rent-a-mop domestic agency here.
Oh, yes.
That isn't Sir Gregory Pitkin, is it?
Use your blooming loaf. Do I sound like Sir Gregory Pitkin?
It's sometimes difficult to tell these days. I've an urgent message for Sir Gregory, and your switchboard put me through to you.
He's away today, and I'm taking messages.
Ah, well, he asked Rent-a-mop to find a home help for his country retreat, Lemon Tree Cottage, Bluebell Wood, Hampshire.
How?
We weren't sure yesterday if we could oblige, but we've managed to find someone.
Well, I don't know anything about this, but I'll make a note in case he rings up from the country.
Thank you so much. Goodbye.
Ta-ra. Oh, I better write that down before I forget. Phone message. They've got Sir Gregory help now. Lemon Tree Cottage, Bluebell Wood, Hants. It's nothing but blooming work these days. I think I'll go and powder my nose.
More threats from those Crumford people in today's paper, I see.
Yes, apparently they marched to their local post office and defaced the ministry poster.
Oh, is nothing sacred? What did it say exactly?
Keep your premium bonds in a safe place. Yes, they added a suggestion that was both unpleasant and impracticable. Oh, hello. No one in the office.
I expect Mildred's gone to the canteen. Those protest people will stop at nothing.
Odd that Sir Gregory has gone down there again.
I saw a film on telly last Sunday where this crowd of villagers lynched a top executive. Oh, it was horrible. Blood all over the place.
Ah, but that was a children's program. Couldn't happen in real life. Could it?
What? Look at this note on Mildred's desk.
What is it? Let's have a look. Yeah. Phone message. They've got Sir Gregory.
Yes.
Help now. Lemon Tree Cottage, Bluebell Wood, Hants. Good grief, it can't happen.
They said people at the top would suffer.
And they really meant it. They've kidnapped Sir Gregory. They're holding him in this hideaway. He could be in terrible danger.
Yes, I suppose he could.
Too, how can you smile like that? I know he bullies us sometimes, but Sir Gregory is a human being. Well, almost. I mean, we must get help at once.
You're right, one. Besides, there could be a reward.
Now then, I'll ring the army. You ring the police.
Yes.
We'll need helicopters, paratroops.
We'd better have ambulances standing by.
Good idea, yes.
And I suggest the army should bring some of those big armored vehicles.
Thanks.
Don't mention it.
And I tell you what, we'll need a map to find exactly where this Lemon Tree Cottage is.
Yes.
Now, we must wait till dark and then surround the place.
Won't Sir Gregory be grateful?
I won't, he will indeed. He must be desperate by now.
Now then, Daphne, there's no need to sulk just because the home help hasn't turned up.
You lured me here so I could do all your cooking and cleaning.
Daphne, my dearest, I promise that is not why I lured you. Brought you here.
You've been very wicked.
Not yet, my puppet. Now look, why don't we just relax on this sheepskin rug by the fire and enjoy this bottle of brandy?
All right. Only next time you kiss me, remember to take that cigar out of your mouth.
That's better, my angel. No need to fuss over silly little trifles.
No.
Here we are, alone again at last. You'd think we were the only people in the whole wide world, wouldn't you?
Bunny! What's that?
Great heavens, it sounds like a helicopter.
What's going on? Let's peep out of the window.
Good grief. The cottage is surrounded by soldiers. And they've got searchlights.
Do you think your wife has come to look for you?
No, surely not. Someone out there with a loud hailer.
All right, the game's up. Just tuck your fist in or you'll face the consequences. I'll drop everything.
I can't believe it. I know that voice.
Oh, it's that knife, Mr. Lennox Brown and Mr. Lamb.
They've gone mad. I knew they'd snap in the end. Just let me get my hands on them this time. They've gone too far.
Now, keep calm, Sir Gregory. We can explain.
It is too late for explanations, Lennox Brown. This is the day of reckoning. Last night was the most embarrassing experience of my life.
It was unfortunate, I agree.
Unfortunate? It was a nightmare. Of all the crass ineptitude, of all the sheer willful stupidity,
Please, Sir Gregory, you mustn't blame yourself.
What?
It was our fault, Sir Gregory, but we meant well.
We merely misinterpreted the note on Mildred's desk there.
Merely misinterpreted?
Yes, sir.
When I think of those paratroopers coming down the chimney...
The army behaved very efficiently, sir. I'm sure you'll agree.
They behaved disgracefully, Lennox Brown. They hustled Miss Bentwater out of the cottage before she had time to put on her clothes. Ooh. And a dozen policemen questioned her for 8 hours in the bushes.
They only wanted to grasp the bare essentials, Sir Gregory.
Oh, be quiet, Lamb. It was bad enough with Miss Bentwater, but they did the same to me. I had no idea Holly could be so painful.
We can only apologize, Sir Gregory.
Apologize, Lennox Brown. Do you think that's enough? I'm going to have you both deported and drummed out of the civil service first.
No, Sir Gregory, please don't throw that typewriter. Look, we'll settle for deportment.
I'll pack my things now. We can leave quietly.
You can have our potted plants, sir.
Yeah, you know what you can do with your potted plants.
The cactus, Sir Gregory?
Especially the cactus. Now go, get out.
Very well, sir. Before we go, Sir Gregory, perhaps we should phone Lady Pitkin.
Right? Phone my wife? Why?
Well, I mean, sir, you've had a nasty shock. I mean, we ought to tell her exactly what happened last night so she can, sir, take care of you.
Yeah, no. Put that phone down, Lennox Brown. Mr. Lennox Brown.
Thank you.
No need to phone Lady Pitkin. No need at all. It might upset her.
Are you sure, sir?
Oh, yes. It's past now. No sense in raking it up. Forget all we said. We don't want Lady Pitkin worried about this affair. Business, do we?
Oh, well, if you say so, sir.
I'm prepared to overlook your little error in calling out the army.
Yes. And the police, and the ambulances.
And the police and ambulances, Mr. Lamb.
Very kind of you, Sir Gregory.
Right. With that behind us, I want you to get on with this road link project. We've lost a week already, and the Ministry of Transport have made it top priority. They want it finished in 4 months.
But what about the local protest group? Did you speak to them?
There was no difficulty there. I sorted them out in 5 minutes.
Well, even that dreadful old ferryman?
Yes, of course. I soon talked him round.
With your usual crisp diplomacy, eh?
No, with some crisp £5 notes. Oh. Compensation. All the locals are perfectly happy now, and the road link must start at once.
Your 11sies, sir.
Thank you, Mildred. And I think we deserve an extra doughnut this morning.
I hear there'll be big celebrations for the opening of the Cromford Road Link.
Yes, indeed. The PM's performing the ceremony next month.
Sir Gregory will be cruising up and down in his new yacht, dressed overall.
Yeah, that'll make a change.
And there'll be foreign VIPs.
All thanks to us. We've organized the whole thing from London.
They gave us 4 months, and I gather the workmen are well up to schedule.
Well, who says the age of miracles is past?
And you say there'll be lots of foreign VIPs there?
That's right. Our design may be used for the Channel Road link. So lots of continental engineers are coming to inspect the tunnel.
Yes, top technicians from all... Do you say tunnel, too?
Yes, the tunnel under the River Crum.
No, no, too. You mean the bridge. I mean, the road link is a bridge.
No, one, it's a tunnel. I approved the plans 3 months ago, the day Sir Gregory threatened to deport us. They've been tunnelling from the West Bank.
But I ordered a bridge 3 months ago. From the East Bank. They're already halfway across. Hmm?
Do you think this thing a mistake?
Not a mistake. Not a mistake, a disaster. Oh, you idiot, too.
Why is it always my fault?
There's only limited finance. They can't build a bridge and a tunnel, and there's only a month to go.
Oh, dear.
Oh, it's no use snaggering, too. We've got to do something. Mildred, get the chief engineer on the phone.
And here is the news read by John Curl. The Prime Minister today opened the new road link at Crumford, an unusual structure in that half the river is spanned by a bridge and the other half crossed by a tunnel. Two are joined in the middle by an escalator for pedestrians and a ramp for vehicles. In his speech, the Prime Minister called this a triumph of British engineering and said he'd never seen anything like it. It was, he said, Britain's first marine spaghetti junction. He anticipated healthy revenue from the adverts by the escalator. The bold new design has been much admired by foreign engineers, and a team of Soviet scientists claim that the half-bridge, half-tunnel was a Russian invention. It was a well-known fact, they said, that the British never did things by halves.
Two, it's worked. We've got away with it.
I've just been handed a news flash.
Whoopee, everything's going to be all right.
We've just heard that the new structure at Crumford has collapsed. Fortunately, no one was hurt, but a passing motor cruiser was severely damaged and sank at once. The owner of the vessel, Sir Gregory Pitkin, climbed safely from the water, but was then pushed in again by his secretary.
Switch it off, too.
It hasn't worked, has it?
Get your things packed before Sir Gregory gets back.
All right.
Come on.
I will.
Don't
hold.
Hurry up. He's back.
Providing the missing link as the men from the ministry were Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler. Also featured were Norma Ronald, Ronald Baddeley, John Graham and Hilary Pritchard. The program was written by Edward Taylor and John Graham and produced by Edward Taylor.